Sophia is here. Hey, Sophia.
Hello.
What are you doing?
I'm reading chapter 3.
Excellent.
Yes. "Who's on the lamb?" Mr. Powell asked, leaving the spaghetti otter pops in the bucket. Lindy went back to occupying her mind with the Mesa College lacrosse team. "It's Mrs. Marshall. She's headed to Baja California on a train seal." "Did she kill her kids?" Mrs. Powell asked, treating a serious subject like it was a cold goose salad. She turned to Chris. "Don't you want some salad?" With the napkin tucked into his collar, Chris limped towards his mom at the mere mention of cold goose salad. "I'm not too late, am I?" "No," Lindy contested. "What you are is planning Amy's coming out party with Palmolive." "You're always the first to know," Mr. Powell said with the irony of Alanis Morissette's gay rooster. To Amy and Ben, this Palmolive that everyone insists exists is just another excuse to party, Lindy said. "Mrs. Marshall paid me $20 to keep quiet." "That's perfect," her mom exclaimed. She got on the ladder so she could see the Mesa College lacrosse team tossing salad to each other. It had been a week since Lindy had resuscitated Palmolive from her enslavement in the land of the braless. And every day after school, she'd pass out, high in the Compton encyclopedic knowledge that once her voice changed, she'd be able to move her labia with her mind instead of her fists. Chris insisted that everything we know, is wrong. "I can't believe you're testing me on how many tan Volvos there are in town," he said this to his sister, and then rehashed every sentence he'd ever seen floating above people's heads. But it was summer, a time when Lindy dragged Palmolive to school, and a time when Chris actually changed his clothes on a regular basis. A group of kids was always waiting for them, and Lindy was always ready to stomp on their toes and curse their mothers. Chris watched all of this from a safe quarter, as Lindy told Palmolive not to talk to the kids. "It's like talking to a quesadilla in a vacuum anyway," Chris thought. But to their surprise, the kids applauded and shouted, "Double the lab rats!" Palmolive felt less paranoid and more diverticulatist. The applauding kids included Roberto Martin, a guy who laughed like Chris when he was 2 years old, but who thought that Lindy was always sensational. Not seeing what Roberto saw in these dumbass kids, Chris somehow thought, "If I was a ventriloquist, I could make them say whatever I want and make money." Lindy was getting $20 for the Marshall's kid's birthday, and when she talks, people actually get up and go to other birthday parties in disgust, and they give her more money as they leave. Tonight, after dinner, after washing the dishes, after going to the bathroom, after saying her prayers, Lindy would ask her parents to go over the numbers she had crunched. Then she'd show them the apparition she called Palmolive. Mr. and Mrs. Powell were ensconced on the couch, eating salad. Who knew that in one of her phases, Lindy would successfully turn an umbrella into a television, leaving Chris parasolless. "Who knew?" Mr. Powell's echo even echoed, and he wished that the sofa had a commode instead of a matching love seat. Barky barked, and God poured salt on his tail as Mr. and Mrs. Powell frantically lapped up the dog's cola.
You know you're not allowed on the Chesterfield," Mrs. Powell said, consulting her thesaurus.
But the dog just hissed at her and then lifted his leg on the love seat. Chris knew that his dog's days had just been numbered. If Barky had actually urinated, they would have found his scorched carcass crucified in the hills somewhere. "If you value your Triscuits, you won't do it," Daddy commented. "Can I have a ventriloquist dummy instead of a dog?" Chris blurted as Barky marked the divan. Chris didn't have to think. He only had to blurt. The resulting silence was old news. Lindy moved from the salad bar to the sofa. She wasn't carrying a thesaurus, but she was carrying Palmolive, who had just been transformed into a ventriloquist dummy. "Like it?" she asked. She was a rat's ass of silly comedy, hasty sentiment, salad, and Vicente Fox. "It's lovely. Can I?" Chris repeated, even though he knew how his parents felt about dogs marking territory and repetition. "Do you want a 2-2-2? The sordid and inane Mrs. Powell asked. "He wants what?" Lindy asked, confusing the comedy. "Chris says he wants a dummy too, like Palmolive there," the information laden Mrs. Powell said. "No way, Jose," Lindy aired it out. "Why are you always such a simpering copycat?" "Perish the thought," Chris replied, stepping on a cockroach. "If you have something, I want something." And the chill in the air sent out chills. "You'd copy my ass if you had a chance," Lindy protested like a rabid dog. "Why aren't you out looking for a toga party or writing a collection of essays on the joys of self-stimulation? That's something you do.
What I do is shave my legs and ventriloquism. Children, Mr. Powell began, addressing the impending silence, please, no talk of peeing and no talk of dummies. Do you really think I'm serious? Chris said. I think that Lindy isn't very ventriloquisty. I totally believe that I'm ventriloquisty, Lindy insisted as she thumbs through her dictionary. That's not nice, Chris, the long, low snore of Mrs. Powell said. Okay, it's not nice. But if Lindy has one, then I think it's my constitutional right to have one, the leaden and jurisprudent voice of Chris told for his parents. Copycat, Lindy repeated, not having gotten her parents' memo on repetition. Every week someone invites me, and every week... Sorry, Mom and Dad. And every week... sorry. I dragged palm olive out from under the kitchen sink, but I already can see that I'm going to have to change to raising parakeets. That way I'll make my money selling baby budgies to Brits. You know, you two disgust me, and I don't get disgusted at anything, Mrs. Powell said disgustedly. That's nice. Can I have a parakeet? Chris asked. How many? Mr. Powell replied, looking at his wife like he looked at his watch. A good co-starring dummy will cost about $100, and I don't think at this moment with the price of gas and body parts I can afford that. Why don't you just cut palm olive in half, Mrs. Powell, King Solomon? Huh? Lindy breathed, but she wanted to do... What she wanted to do was throw herself on the floor. You two need compartmentalizing, Mrs. Powell continued. Hey, that's it. Why don't you compartmentalize palm olive? But Mom! Lindy had a gimme in reserve. Excellent idea, Mr. Powell interrupted the gimme with a how he can make a man out of Chris. First, you'll live in a tent in the backyard. Second, the time I don't have to devote to you, I'm now devoting to ignoring you. And third, I'm going back to second, because I like that one. Are you still here? Chris lowered his head and walked until he was where Lindy wasn't. He lifted his head and saw the dummy. Don't look at me or I'll compartmentalize your ass, he said, and then looked into his sister's sad, dark, and roped-off eyes. Can I please hold it for a second? Lindy was furious until she realized that he meant palm olive. The dummy's head rose up and turned to Chris, in a voice he'd never heard, said, Take me apart, Chris! This voice was so vociferous that it sounded like a psychotic Pez dispenser. Go on, reanimate me, you stupid ass! Before Chris's hairline could receive even more, his fist punched palm olive right in the bicuspidor, its head hitting the floor with tremendous bombast.
All right. Good job.
The end of that chapter. End.
The end of that chapter. And what comes next?
Chapter 4.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.